You're listening to the Lux Life Discovered podcast, where we talk with people who are living a lifestyle that reflects their passion, because we believe everyone should be living their best life, their Lux Life. The show is hosted by Rick Steiner with Steiner Event Group, a premier national event planning company, and co-hosted by Shannon Richmond, the vice president of the Panama City Beach Chamber of Commerce. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to hit the subscribe button and the bell to get notifications of future episodes. The show is produced by 30A Media and is broadcast on your favorite podcast outlets, as well as YouTube, Roku TV, Amazon Fire TVs, and other major brand smart TVs.
Hello, I'm Rick Steiner. Welcome to Lux Life Discovered. Our guest today is Christy Matthews with the Jonesboro Radio Group. So, Christy, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I'm excited. It's my very first podcast.
And I am honored that you, the radio talk show queen of Northeast Arkansas, the first podcast is with me. That's great. So
thank you. For those
who don't know you, kind of give a background of your involvement with radio and Jonesboro and Northeast Arkansas.
Sure. So I actually grew up in Northwest Arkansas, but came to Jonesboro to go to college and started my full-time radio career in Jonesboro. And in 1990, met my husband as we were putting yellow ribbons on cars during the Gulf War,
and
married for 32 years and been on the radio in Jonesboro since 1990 and still love it every day.
Well, I tell you, and you do a great job. In fact, you were the voice for a lot of my bridal show commercials when I first started. And I always thought, who's got that beautiful voice that is so impressive? And then I met you and I thought, well, it just makes sense. So yeah.
Well, thank you.
So what was your love for radio that, what brought you into that?
Well, believe it or not, it's so funny that you asked that. Someone recently asked me how I got started, and my senior year of high school, I had to fill out a one sheet of where I thought I would be in 10 years when I was a senior in high school. And I put down that I wanted to work in advertising. Okay. I was going to be living in a big city, which Jonesboro is a big city from compared to where I grew up, of a population of 626. But I never dreamed I would be in advertising. I started out in radio, really wanted to be in television, did an internship, decided that TV really wasn't where I wanted to be. And so I applied for a newsreader job at an AM station in Fort Smith. And they said, you'd be great on the air, you should be a DJ. And I said, I don't think so. I think, I want to be a hardcore journalist. You know, I don't want to play music. And so I passed on the job, was driving home, and they called me. And I got home that night and I was listening to the DJ on the air. And I thought, you know what, that sounds fun. I mean, I could do this for a summer. And that was the beginning of a 35-year career. And I've been on the radio ever since.
It's been a long summer, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been.
And that's great. Yeah. Well, and you're such a great communicator, but you're also great with people. You're a great people person. And that makes a huge difference because your clients, that's what they like about you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't hurt to be, to have a name, to be able to walk into a business when you make that transition from air personality to sales. A lot of folks in our sales department, like, well, if I were Christy Matthews, I could get that sale too. But, I had to remind them, I still had to go in and sell our business, sell the benefits of using radio to promote their business and grow their brand. So, you may have a name, it may get you in the door, get you that first call, but you've still got to know your business and be able to close it.
Well, and they expect a little bit higher caliber from you, a little bit more, and you deliver and you do a great job with it. So.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed it. I never dreamed that I would be in sales. I always thought I would stay in the programming side of things. And I did that for the majority of my career. And I've been doing sales since 2016. And then 3 years into that, landed the sales manager role. Don't ask me how, but it's worked out. Turns out I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think you are. Yeah. So what is it that drives you with that? What surprises you the most about that?
Well, I guess it's been exciting for me in my radio career to watch locally owned businesses grow into these major brands,
right.
And to be successful and just really grow our community, watching businesses, mom and pops that, get a second store or they get enough business where they can let somebody else run it and they can actually enjoy life and be with their families more. So that's really been the most exciting part for me, is just being able to to help brand a business, come up with, awesome slogans that promote their business, the creative process of it, and really just watching our community blossom over the last 30 years.
Well, and you've seen Jonesboro change so much. I mean, it has grown, mm-hmm. Even at a period of time when a lot of the country, the growth had declined, Jonesboro has always had a steady, upward slope as far as growth and bringing top industries to the county and Northeast Arkansas. And so that has to be rewarding because you guys are essentially a huge part of that.
Yeah, I thank you for saying that. I agree with it wholeheartedly. I think Jonesboro has been insulated. A lot of times whenever, like when COVID hit, yes, obviously our world shut down as well, but our business continued to grow. We saw growth in 2020 when a lot of businesses, a lot of industries did not. But we had to pivot with our clients because they needed to figure out ways to do business. So we had to change our model of business and come up with unique ideas and ways for them to continue to have profit.
Sure. Yeah. Because no profit. Well, and so many people didn't survive that whole period. A lot of businesses, especially smaller businesses that, were not around anymore, unfortunately. So you've got the great position with Jonesboro Radio Group, and we love Jonesboro Radio Group. So I'll just throw that out there. And Trey, thanks for letting Christy be on today. So, so going from being successful, great family life, and then all of a sudden your world turned upside down.
It sure did. In December of 2020, I found out that I had cancer, and I'll give you a little backstory. I was at my daughter's wedding in August. We had, just the whole COVID situation, trying to plan a wedding was very hard. And we were forced to either push the wedding into 2021 or pivot and cut our guest list down and change everything. And my daughter, she was, "I'm getting married in 2020. So we did. And I was actually at her wedding and was at her reception, and we were visiting with guests, and someone called my name, and I literally turned like this to respond to someone, and my hip fell out of socket. And at that time, I didn't know that I had a problem. And I just thought, wow, I've been in heels all day, something's wrong. And that kind of set off a chain of events that something was wrong. And December 31st, New Year's Eve, I got a call from my doctor after finally getting an MRI that said, "You've got a pretty large tumor in your hip, and it looks consistent with cancer, and we need to get you in for a PET scan to see what's going on." And it turned out to be multiple myeloma. And March of 2021, we ended up in Little Rock at UAMS. We're down there about 5 months, underwent a stem cell transplant. And I mean, we went and we hit it hard. And I was devastated. I mean, let's just be honest. I know a lot of people say, "You've been such an inspiration." I'm like, well, I appreciate that, but it's been hard. I mean, I don't want to discount how hard cancer's hard, no matter what kind of cancer, whether it's, if it's breast cancer or, there's a lot I had to learn about cancer. It's made me a more compassionate person when people are going through catastrophic illness. It's made me understand the things that I can do to help them, words to say, things not to say, because you'd be surprised the silliest stuff. People want to say something positive, but sometimes they just kind of fumble over that.
And they're not sure what to say. And sometimes what they end up saying is like, "You should have just been quiet."
I say I'm gonna write a book, "Stupid Things People Tell You When You Have Cancer," and I'm editing that a little bit with my language. But but it's made me realize. I always tell people, you don't have to give me, for number one thing is don't say, "Well, my uncle had that and they died." Don't say that. That's not helpful.
Right.
But just say, "Hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for your full recovery." That's all you need to do. Can I do something for you?
Yeah.
And I had to learn, Rick, really quickly how to be the receiver of people's blessings. That was really hard for me. And my community rallied around me in such a huge way. I get teary eyed just thinking about that, because this whole community, I mean, my name was on signs, "Pray for Christy."
Right.
I mean, people were sending me pictures.
All over social media. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And I really had a hard time with that, because I was like, there are a lot of people that need more support than me. There's people that are sicker than me. And my friend Dana told me, she said, you've done so much for this community. Let them help you. And so I had to, it was hard. That was an adjustment for me, but I always tell people when they get sick, when someone asks you how they can help, tell them how they can help and then let them do it.
And
let them
hard.
Bring you supper.
Well, when yeah. you're self or your motivator and you know, you and I are like it's hard to let go and let somebody else do something. Cause you feel like you said, there's somebody in a bore situation that could benefit. I can take care of myself,
yeah.
you know, that type thing. So, but it is, it's
yeah.
tough, but I understand that. So when you first got the news, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I cried. I mean, I'll just be completely honest. I held on to my husband and we cried and we hit our knees and we prayed and we just said, God got us to the right place, to the right people, and let us get this taken care of. You know, day two, I don't know if everybody else does this, but I went on to this, you know, you go to that place where it's like, you know, you're trying to plan, you know, what if I don't make it? Who's going to do this? You know, and I went through that like
wow.
every human being does. And you don't want to tell people that you went to that dark place, but you that's, you're human. But I was really empowered by the fact that I just wasn't going to let cancer get me. I mean,
yeah.
I just said, you know what? I was 51 at the time. And I was like, you know, I had a 3-year-old grandson and had another baby grandson coming on the way. And I just was not going to miss out on that. And I just prayed, I said, God, if you'll just let me get through this, I will do everything I can to tell people about you. And I will, you know, I'm going to trust you to put me in the right places. And, you know, there were times where I shook my fist and stomped my feet and asked him, why are you doing this to me? I thought I'm a good person. Why is this happening? And my daughter, who is a worship leader, she said, Mama, she said, God didn't give you cancer. You know, quit saying that. And I'm like, well, you know, he's in charge of everything, you know, but I had to, you know, come to the point where, you know, I had to realize that, you know, God leads us to through things, you know, and he's going to get me through it no matter what. You know, bad things happen to good people all the time.
Yeah.
And, I feel like he put me in a position and I had an opportunity and a platform to show people how to try to gracefully walk through it, but be honest and be transparent about it as well. And I tried not to just be all hearts and sunshine all the time, because there were
right.
days where I'm like, listen, I'm struggling and I need y'all.
And that takes a lot to admit that too, especially when you're at that point, you know.
Yeah.
And the people that you met at UAMS and the other people going through similar situations like you or other cancer, types of cancer, how has that affected you too?
Well, I've met a lot of people, you know, that it's cancer patients need to share. They need a group of people that they can call on and say, you know, am I feeling this way? Is this normal? Do you feel this way? You know, there's a lot of emotions that come through your brain, especially when it gets quiet, when nighttime was always the worst for me. And that's when your mind starts working. And, you know, if you allow negative things to get into your mind, it'll take you down in a quick way. And so you have to just be really cognizant of, you know, it's a bad day. It's not a bad life. I can do anything for a little while. And that's one of the things they taught me at UAMS was during my treatment. I had 3 rounds of a pretty rough chemo leading up to my stem cell transplant. And it was like, you're going to feel like crap for 21 days. But on day 22, it's going to climb back up and you're going to get your strength back. So just look at the, you know, and every day they would put a, you know, a smiley face just about this big. And then it'd be a smiley face this big and then this big. And they were so right. They know what the drugs do to you. They know what to do to get you to that next point. And it's just, it's crazy that they know that, but you just have to trust the science and trust the Lord.
And it's hard to, when you're used to doing it all your own, to put that trust in someone else. And
it is.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I was blessed. My husband was an incredible caregiver and bless his heart. I told him many times during the things I said, I know you're having to do things for me that you never dreamed that you would have to, but I'm so grateful. And I always tell him that, you know, gosh, I don't know if I could be as giving and loving and kind and supportive as you are. He was a rock. And he told me, you know, he said, you know, it's great that people, they see that and they're like, he's so good. And I'm like, yes, he is so good. And he, you know, later on told me, he said, you know, that was a hard thing to live up to, because there were a lot of people putting expectations on him, to do all these things. So, your caregiver is, they deserve a lot of credit. They really do.
That's true. Yeah. I volunteered at St. Jude in Memphis for every Friday for a little over 5 years. And it was always amazing, not only the children there that were going through different types of cancer, but the results of the treatments. Sometimes that's as hard on the patient as the cancer itself. Sometimes harder.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And that was something that I was totally blown away by, because you think you're getting the issue taken care of, but there are other issues that can result, and it's
right.
I just never expected that.
Yeah. Side effects are, they can be managed. And but you have to be so open and transparent with your doctor and your caregiver and let them know, because a lot of times, I've been blessed that my doctors work really closely together at UAMS and here in Jonesboro for my treatment plan, because I'm still in active chemo right now. I do oral chemo 3 weeks on, 1 week off. I do a monthly infusion and a monthly injection. And this is 37 months that I've been going through this. I mean, I've not had a break on chemo in 37 months. And, I've learned to speak up for myself and say, can we lower this dose to maybe knock some of these side effects out without keeping me, kicking me out of remission? And, are there alternatives? And a lot of people just won't ask questions. They won't stand up for themselves. And you have to be your biggest advocate, because cancer is not one size fits all. And every body is different. Every physical body is different, and everybody reacts differently. So just because you took one drug and another person took it, and, you were deathly ill and this person just breezed through it, you just have to, just be open and honest with your caregiver and your doctors and say, is there something else that can help? Because, neuropathy is a big thing, numbness of your feet and hands. I mean, I trip over stuff all the time now because I can't really feel my toes right now. And I'm hoping that changes when chemo hopefully comes to an end in August this year.
I was going to ask you, so August is the end.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I go to UAMS every 6 months, and I was there in February, and they gave me the news, and he said, if you can get to August and stay in remission, we'll stop. And I was like, what? Because when I first started treatment 3 years ago, I was told that at that time that I would probably take some sort of chemotherapy for the rest of my life with multiple myeloma.
Oh, wow.
So that just goes to show you how much advancements in treatments and research is happening at UAMS to, like I said, there's so many different variations of multiple myeloma. So not everybody gets the same treatment program, and some people are on more drugs than others. And some people, are able to stop. Some people don't even do chemo after a stem cell transplant. When my doctor said, this is what you need to do, I trusted him. He's the best in the business, and I had no other reason not to doubt him.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So are you working with the support group to help others, and you're using
your
platform? Because you've got the perfect opportunity to have a great platform.
Well, and I don't take that lightly. I don't take it lightly. I will tell you, there's a lot of pressure that goes with, I'm going to sound like just a spoiled brat here, but there are times when I'm just like, I don't want to be your inspiration today. I feel bad. I'm tired. I'm going to lay down. I don't feel 100%. I don't, but the majority of the time, I couldn't find, and it's not that there are not support groups in Jonesboro. There just wasn't one that fit what I needed at the time. And so I was in Dillard's and ran into a couple of friends from church. And I was having a conversation with them about not being able to find the right group for me. And one of the ladies, Carol, she said, our church used to have a cancer support group. And she said, and I said, really? And she said, well, maybe you should start one.
Right.
And
always be careful what you ask for.
Yeah. And so, I said, well, if y'all will help me. And they're both cancer survivors as well. And they said, absolutely, we will do it. So Carol and Jan were, we're standing in the swimsuits at Dillard's, and we decide we're going to start a cancer support group. And so we meet once a month, and we have a variety of cancer survivors. We have, women that are still actively doing chemotherapy for breast cancer. I've got, there's four other women that have multiple myeloma, which for one thing, women really shouldn't even have that. I mean, if you look up multiple myeloma, it's typically a male disease over the age of 65 and primarily African-American. So I had never heard of multiple myeloma, and there are four women within 30 miles of me that have been all been diagnosed around the same amount of time. So it's been, I'm going to dig into that a little bit more when I get past this treatment,
because
because I'm thinking, what's the one thing that we have in common other than, you know, we live in the same area, but, you know, we could give all kinds of conspiracy theories and do those kind of things, but there's obviously something, that is causing more women to come to be diagnosed with multiple myeloma, but yeah, the group's good. It's a faith-based group, and we just, we share and we laugh and we cry. I mean, last couple nights ago, we made bracelets. We made prayer bracelets. I mean, we just want to be there to support one another. There's really no agenda. We do a faith-based Bible study, and then we open it up just to talk about what's going on.
Yeah. I appreciate your honesty because, I mean, you know, you look at you and you're always smiling. You're always happy. But, you know, you're right. There are the days you're just like, hey, I need to just be down today. Leave me alone. Yeah. That's, and you know, and that's just being transparent, and that makes sense. But you sure are an inspiration to so many people. And, you know, it's really great that you're using your platform and your position where you are to be able to make a difference, because it'd be easy to focus on you only, and you're not doing that, but we appreciate it.
Well, I my company has been really good to me. I mean, I've been with Jonesboro Radio Group since 1997, and you know, Trey Stafford has been just an incredible friend and mentor to me, and our company Saga Communications. They have supported me throughout this whole entire journey, and you know, not just from cancer, just growing in my career. I mean, you know, giving me opportunities to do and be, you know, the best that I can be, and giving me the tools I need to be that person. And, you know, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I mean, they let me, you know, allowed me to work as much as I could. And that was important to me because I, you know, number one, I'm just a go-getter, and I needed to work. I mean, I needed my insurance. Let's just be honest. Yeah. I had to have my insurance coverage, and you got to work to get that. You know, my husband had just started his own business. And so we, for the first time in 29 years, we were on my insurance. It was just weird how everything played out. I mean, God set everything up. If we look back, why he had to, you know, why he left his job to start his own business so he could be off to be able to take care.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense at the time. We were scared to death, but you know, it was all part of the plan. The plan was written, and we just had to ride it out.
All right. And one part of the whole journey that really probably took its hardest toll on you was what?
Just God made me slow down.
Okay.
I mean, you know, he forced me to say, you know what, you are not in charge. You know, you may think you are. And I had to get out of God's way a lot. I had to, you know, I would like, you know, I would allow him to push me in ways. And then I would be like, I got this. I don't need you right now. You know? And so that probably more than anything is being able to trust and lean on him 100% and not when it was convenient.
Yeah. And that's tough when you're the personalities that we have, because we can do it all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I got this. There's other people that need you right now. I got you. But that's not what he wants. He wants us to need him all the time.
Right.
And that's what I learned. That's
when
what I learned.
Go to him with different things. And it's like, okay, just in case you've forgotten, I know you've got a lot of things on your mind. Just let me remind you. He's why you're like, just shut up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're so full of ourselves that sometimes we just need to be that. We just need to be slapped down and say, you know, hey, they put us in our place.
That's
put us
true.
In our place.
Yeah. So, well, it's great that you've been able to work, continue to grow with your company there with the Jonesboro Radio Group, because that kind of kept you as a motivating factor too, as well. You didn't let that slack in the process. You maintained and still continue to grow, which I think probably helped you as well, right?
Oh yeah. It gave me some focus and purpose, because otherwise I would have just been sitting there feeling sorry for myself. And, you know, I've had more of our staff tell me, you know, I hate to even say, you know, I don't feel good today. I'm not going to come in. And then you're sitting there doing chemo while you're working. Like, I had an infusion today, and I'm sitting here and I'm working, and I've got a needle in my arm, and I'm just working along. And they're like, well, great. You know, I'm like,
can't call in today because Christy's there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, and I don't want people to think that their sickness or their illness is less than, and how you, because I mean, if you feel bad, you feel bad, but that's just my personality. And, you know, I'd rather get it done during the work day and, you know, I'm going to have to be here anyway.
Right. That's true. That's true. Well, I tell you what, we're going to put your information on the screen. That way, if anybody wants to contact you, they can reach out to you about your journey or any questions that you can help them with. So
absolutely.
Just tell them, if you don't mind, just go through the.
Yeah. I mean, you can visit me at my email address is Christy@JonesboroRadioGroup.com. Or if you just go to JonesboroRadioGroup.com, there's links. My phone number's on there. My cell phone's there. I've had more people call me out of the blue and just say, listen, I've just got a cancer diagnosis. Can you give me any advice? I am open. I'm an open book. And our Cancer Survivors Group, that is a private page. But if you find me, I'll get you in there. We'd love to have you. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I feel blessed that I'm doing well. I'm, you know, treatment's going well. And, you know, I just want to pay it forward. I want to pay it forward.
Well, and you definitely will. And that's great. And thank you for your time today. And thank you for everything you do in Jonesboro Radio Group for the community, because you guys, like I said, have been a huge part of the success that Northeast Arkansas has experienced. And it's because of you, because of Trey, and a dedicated team that puts it all together.
Thank you, Rick, for having me. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're welcome. That concludes our episode of Lux Life Discovered, and we will see you soon.
Check out Lux Life Discovered on Facebook and Instagram and on 30A.tv. See you next time on Lux Life Discovered.